always a joy, isn't it? Such enthusiasm. Welcome. It's good to see you here. My name's Nigel, for those who don't know. I think everyone knows. That's good. Let's pray. Father, as we open your word, we ask that your spirit would speak to us, that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive what you would say through this word. I do pray, Father, that you forgive me my sin. They are many. You know them. Thank you that in Jesus' name I can come before you and seek your forgiveness and know that in his name you forgive me. And I just pray now that you would speak through me, that I may be true to your word, and that you would help us all to hear, receive, and be obedient to your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a song which many of you may have seen on TV, usually sung by children wandering around the outback or gathering in the cities. But the words of the chorus are this: we are one, but we are many, and from all the lands on earth we come. We'll share a dream and sing with one voice. I am, you are, we are Australian. I've only been an Australian for about 6 years, but I like that song. It's a song about unity. It's a song about being one country, one people made up from many nations. April this year, we saw an invasion of a farm by 150 activists, and we saw them confronted by a farmer with a shotgun. There wasn't a lot of oneness there. We had 150 people with one opinion, and one farm with a shotgun with another opinion. And all it caused was grief. What separates Australians? Usually opinions. They're usually held strongly, which caused divisions. And we're very pleased to say that nothing like that would ever happen in the church. Would it? Of course not. We don't separate over opinions, do we? Not a lot of voices saying anything there. We do. Just as Australians separate over opinions, people within the church separate over opinions. What would happen if we held those opinions quietly? If we held them gently, if we kept them to ourselves? I'm not saying that we should not have opinions. I think they're very important that we have opinions. They're very important also that we hold to them. But I'm not going to try and force my opinions upon you, because you may not agree with me, and that's your problem, not mine. But what if these activists who were vegans and the farmer who was a beef cattle farmer sat down for a meal together? One could eat no meat and the other could eat meat. Could you see that happening? I couldn't, because they hold their opinions too strongly. One group tries to say we should not be eating meat. Another group says, I make my livelihood from eating meat. But if we could sit down with one another and not judge one another, that would be so good. What about in the church? We're told that we are one body with many parts, that we're all needed, that you all have different ideas than all. We read in Romans 12, just going back a couple of chapters from a few weeks ago. In verse 3 to 8 we read, for by the grace given me I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Paul's addressing the Roman church here in this chapter 14. And he's addressing issues about eating, about special days, about who we live for, about how we behave ourselves. And we see that the issue is probably dealing with Jewish converts to Christianity who have come into the Roman church, joining with Gentile believers. Now, the Jews would have been bringing with them a lot of the Levitical laws, which says you can't eat this, you must do certain things on certain days. This has been part of their upbringing for all their lives. It's not going to suddenly change, even though they've come to faith in Christ. They have still got these Levitical laws because they believed they were worshipping God, which they were. So we have Jews and we have Gentiles coming together with different ideas, saying, what can we eat? What days are special? Why are we having this problem? Because people are trying to force their opinions on others. What separates churches? We find frequently that it's opinions and debatable matters which are not gospel essentials. What sort of examples can we have? Well, let's look at the Baptist Church. What separates the Baptist Church from many other churches? Method of baptism. What else separates them? Method of government. Dress code. Makeup of the believers. Makeup of the church fellowship. Whether it's one group or another group or a mixture of groups. There are all sorts of things that separate us. And usually it comes down to opinions and debatable matters. What unites us? Why are we all here this morning? I know why I'm here. Why are you here? Is it because you wanted to catch up with someone? Is it because you wanted to escape from home, all the hassle and bustle of home life? Or is it because you love Jesus? Is that why you're here? Let's unite ourselves over what we can agree on. Why should the church be separated by opinions and debatable matters when we all love the same Lord, we're all saved by the same Redeemer, we all worship the same God, and yet we separate ourselves because of opinions? Let me read a psalm to you. Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. There's a key verse in chapter 14. Verse 17 reads as follows. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And of course, this sermon has three parts, as all sermons have three parts. We're told to refrain from judging. We're told to avoid. What are we told to avoid? Amazing, isn't it? It goes from your head. We're told to avoid offending, and we're told to rejoice in the Holy Spirit and all that we've received. Okay, what causes us to pass judgment? This passage here, it says, One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. We're talking about the weak and the strong. When we talk about weak and strong, we're not talking about strength. Most commentators believe we're talking about the maturity of the believers. They believe the weak ones are new converts and the strong ones are older converts who may be more mature in their faith. But the weak ones are told not to judge the strong ones. You'd think it'd be the other way around, wouldn't you? But the weak ones are coming and saying, no, we can't do this because it's against the law of God. The strong ones are saying, well, you can do anything you like because we've been saved, we've been set free from the law of God. So, what causes to pass judgment on someone? The weak ones are judging people because they eat everything. What causes us to judge people? Usually appearance, speech, background, beliefs. My young son, is a great example of appearance and judgment. He has got a body covered with tattoos. He's got large holes in his ears. He wears very strange clothes. And up until about 3 months ago, I was accused of constantly judging him. And it was true, I was judging him. I was judging him by his appearance and by his actions. And fortunately, Simon addressed that issue with me, and God also addressed that issue with me. And he said, why are you judging him by appearance? It is not the appearance which matters. It is what is in the heart that matters. We also judge people on our opinions, though, don't we? Opinions that we don't agree on. There may be somebody sitting next to you who has a different idea of the end times. Because they don't agree with you, do you hate them? Hopefully not. Do you argue with them? Hopefully not. Our opinions are our opinions. If they're not gospel orientated, if they're not vital to your salvation, hold them lightly. Don't try and convince other people to follow your opinion. It is only your opinion. I think of opinions, usually in politics, which cause brawls. If you ever listen to Parliament or watch Parliament, it's amazing what opinions can do in those situations. We have here in verse 1, the NIV says, do not quarrel over disputable matters. The ESV calls it, don't argue over opinions. Let me show you an example of what happens when you start arguing over opinions. In Acts 23, we read an example of supposedly godly people and their opinions. In Acts 23, from verse 6, we read, Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and others Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, my brothers, I am a Pharisee, descended from Pharisees. I stand on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead. When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees say there is no resurrection and that there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees believe all these things. There was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law who were Pharisees stood up and argued vigorously. We find nothing wrong with this man, they said. What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him? The dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. That's what can happen if we let our opinions control our lives. That's the possible end result of disputes. Now, I said before, Paul was referring to the habit of eating. The Jewish believers were coming out of the Levitical law, so they were saying we shouldn't be eating this food. The Romans were probably coming out of worship of other gods, where sacrificial food was eaten regularly. And so we have this dispute, a conflict of cultures. Now, these were the matters confronting believers at the time. That doesn't necessarily apply to us today. We don't have a lot of conflict over what we eat, unless you don't like tripe and onions or haggis or that sort of stuff. Then I'll give you a conflict. Those are the things my father used to eat. Great fun smelling the tripe and onions cooking in the kitchen. Terrible stuff. What confronts us today? What divides us today? Opinions over gifts of the Spirit, opinions over end times, opinions over what sort of music we should worship with, opinions over how we should worship, whether we should sit, stand, kneel when we pray. All these opinions tend to divide believers, and it should not be so. We belong to the Lord and we will give an account before him, not our fellow man. In verse 8 and 12, we read the following. If we live for the Lord, and if we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. We do not need to give an account of ourselves to each other. We will be given an account to God. We will be judged by God. When we live as believers, we need to hold on to the instruction to love our neighbour as ourselves, and that way we will not do anything which will cause grief to our brothers or sisters. If opinions differ, we should not judge ourselves as right and the others as wrong. Unless the word is clear on the matter, it is debatable. We can debate about it as long as we don't believe that the other person has to believe as we do. Don't let disputes over opinions separate us. Something came to me very clearly in the past week. I was reading a book by Tripp called Lost in the Middle. And he was talking about something which hit me like an anvil falling on my head. And it explained what my biggest problem was. His quote was, and I've added my own words as well here, our deepest, most pervasive, and most abiding problem is us. And I turned around and said, my deepest, most pervasive, and most abiding problem is me. The only problem I have with people is me. The only one who can solve the problems I have with people is me. I am responsible for any conflict in my life with anyone else. I am the only one that can solve it, either by dealing with it, or by ignoring it, or by moving away from it. But it is my problem, and it is mine to fix. So, if we have disputable matters, if we have opinions which don't always agree with others, we cannot fix it by forcing people into our mould. We need to recognise that opinions and disputable matters must be held lightly, gently, and quietly. We must also avoid offending. That's even harder. In verse 13 following, we read, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. What offends? In Paul's situation here, we're talking about food and days, mainly food. If someone who believes you should not be eating meat sits down with somebody who eats meat, the meat eater is offending the non-meat eater. Do you grasp that? In other words, the one who thinks he shouldn't do something is offended by the one who does something. So what does that put upon us? It means we have to do something about that. We have to avoid offending. I was bringing a message to a youth service in Perth a number of years ago, and it was a casual service, and so I was dressed casually. I wasn't in thongs or shorts, but I was in slack shoes and a t-shirt. The senior pastor was offended because I was wearing a t-shirt. He approached me after the service and gave me a dressing down. Not quite literally, but he told me that I should not be wearing a t-shirt. So in future, even though I like t-shirts, I wore a collared shirt because I wanted to avoid causing offence. Now, there is much that we like doing. There is much we like saying. But if we are causing offence within the body of believers, we need to seriously consider whether we continue that behaviour. Paul is addressing that issue here. He says, do not cause offence. No stumbling blocks, verse 13. We may believe something that others don't, but we do not attack them because of that belief. We must not do things which offend other believers. It is better to stop something than continue which causes a stumbling. Verse 19, we're told what we should do. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. We should be making efforts for peace and building people up. Let go of your opinions if they're causing offence. Avoid controversies. We don't need to be causing grief within the body of believers. Do not destroy the work of God over opinions. We need to think of our impact on others before we act or speak. We need to work towards peaceful situations. There's two don'ts there. Don't judge and don't offend. Now we come to the positive aspect. Verse 17 reads as follows. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because this is pleasing to God. Read in 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Not for your own self-satisfaction, but for the glory of God. Because this is pleasing to God. When can we know real peace and joy? Only when we are right with God. And when are we right with God? When we have confessed our sins, trusted in Jesus' death and resurrection, and commune with God and his people. We're all sinners. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. None of us can save ourselves. There is nothing that we can do which would cause God to love us. But there is a Redeemer. Jesus Christ died in our place, and as we confess our sin and believe in him, we are saved. God sees us as righteous, not because we are, but because we come before him in Jesus' name. He doesn't see our sin, which are many, but he sees the perfection of Jesus, and it's only through Jesus that we can be righteous in God's sight. This passage also, though, it is for the kingdom of God is not about eating or drinking, but of righteousness, speaks about need to be of right conduct. Our righteousness is in Christ, but we need to behave ourselves, people of God. We need to behave ourselves. We need to be considering one another. We need to be loving our neighbour. We need to be avoiding judgment. We need to be avoiding offence. We need to be of right conduct. Also says that we need to be full of peace. The Spirit gives peace to believers, and this should be evident in the body. We should be a peaceful group. We shouldn't be fighting one another. We shouldn't be arguing with one another. Yes, we could have opinions, but hold them gently. Philippians 1. And find it. 1:27 says this: whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. If we can put aside our opinions and arguments, we can then focus on what is important. And what is important? Becoming more like Jesus. Another passage. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body were called to peace, and be thankful. We should be becoming more like Jesus. We should also be full of joy, able to rejoice in the forgiveness of our sins, able to rejoice in the presence of God by His Spirit, able to rejoice in the fellowship of believers, able to rejoice in the fact that we can give comfort, we can give support, and that we can be accountable to one another. Those are all joyful things. Verse 18 says, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. So if we exhibit the righteousness that comes from knowing Jesus, the peace and joy that comes from the Holy Spirit, this is pleasing to God the Father and receives human approval, which in turn promotes unity. In conclusion, judging and offending are outward actions. We are instructed to avoid these actions by a change in our inward condition. A change which can only be worked by the Holy Spirit transforming us to be more like Jesus day by day. So let go of quarrels over an opinion and disputable matters, for these things only bring disunity. Instead, focus on the indisputable facts of our faith. We're all sinners. Jesus came to save sinners. We're set free from the consequence of our sins by His death, and we've been given the promise of eternal life with God. When we believe, confess, and trust in our Creator God, we are united. We need to show this unity to the world by our love for Jesus and His church. Let's pray. Father, Your word speaks to us every day. We thank You that You speak even now. We thank You that You have warned us against separating by opinions and disputable matters. And we pray, Father, that You would indeed unite us by our love for Jesus and our love for one another. We pray that these words may stay with us and that You would change us all to be more of the people You want us to be. May, as a body of believers, we be united in our love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.